نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. I would like to begin our talk this evening with some brief introductory remarks as we proceed in this very brief summarized explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah by Al-Imam Abu Ja'far Al-Tahawi. We have covered the first section, or most of the first section, or first chapters of his book, in which he talked about the Tawheed, and in detail he talked about those things related to the names of Allah and His characteristics. And I think in the last lecture, we mentioned the point of Imam al-Tahawi, where he said that Allah is the creator without any need, and He is the provider without any effort or difficulty. He is the one who causes death without any fear, and the one who resurrects without any effort. Then he talked about the sifat of Allah, or the characteristics of Allah. And he said that before Allah created anything from the beginning, He had those characteristics or qualities which did not increase in any way after He created the creation. Those characteristics were with Him from eternity, and they will continue to be with Him. Then he also discussed the characteristics of Rububiyyah, of Allah, that He is the Rabb of everything, meaning the Creator, the Owner, the one who gives life and death, the Provider, and the one who has control over everything in this universe. And that Allah has power over everything. And concerning this point, we began to discuss the fact of Allah having power over everything. In this point, we began to discuss the subject of Al-Qadr wal-Qadha. And Al-Imam al-Tahawi has discussed this topic of Al-Qadr wal-Qadha in a number of places in this very small essay, Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah. So as he mentioned those points related to Al-Qadr wal-Qadha, then we will discuss it piece by piece, each point as it comes in the essay. But so as to give some organized and complete framework from which we can look at the topic of Al-Qadr wal-Qadha, and we mean by Al-Qadr wal-Qadha the divine pre-measurement or the predetermining of all affairs of the universe. And that includes a number of points which I think we mentioned briefly in the last lecture. These two words, Al-Qadr and Al-Qadha, in the Arabic language have similar meanings. When they are used separately, each of them individually may have the meaning of both. But when they are used together, each of them has a separate meaning, a distinct meaning. The same as al-Islam wal-Iman. If you say al-Islam, you mean also faith. You don't just mean the pillars of Islam, but you mean belief in Islam and everything. And if you say Iman, then you also include in that Islam. And if someone who has Iman, it means that they are Muslim. They have true Iman. But when they come together, if you say al-Islam wal-Iman, then each of them has a separate meaning. Islam means something and Iman means something else. Basically, Islam refers to the action that a Muslim does in his life, and Iman refers to his aqidah or his beliefs or faith. So also with al-Qadr wal-Qadha, their meanings are intertwined, related to one another, but when they come together, they have a separate meaning. And here, the correct meaning of these two words, if they are used in the same sentence, al-Qadr means the fixed measuring or determining of an affair. And al-Qadha means the execution of that which Allah had predetermined. Ya'ani, al-Qadr means that Allah determined how it's going to be, what's going to happen. In anything in the creation, before He brought it into existence, He determined it, He fixed it, He measured it. And al-Qadha refers to when that thing is actually executed. Maybe after thousands of years, that thing came into existence. You and I, whatever. But it was predetermined long time ago that we would come into existence, then Allah brought us into existence. And in our life, the things that happen, those things happen over the years. So they were already pre-measured or predetermined 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. So when those things actually happen, when they occur, this is al-Qadha. And al-Qadr means the predetermining of those things. So, since we are going to discuss a number of points this evening, they are related to this topic of al-Qadr and al-Qadha, then I thought that we should at least give a summarized discussion concerning this topic before we take the points of Imam al-Tahawi one by one. Al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in his book or in his explanation of the book Lum'at al-I'tiqad, which is a very important book of Aqidah, as al-Imam Tahawi's book and as Usul Sunnah of Imam Ahmed, all of these books basically are summarized explanations of the Islamic Aqidah. In this book, Lum'at al-I'tiqad by al-Imam ibn Qudama, who is a very famous scholar of Hanbali fiqh, of the Hanbali madhab, in his book he discussed this topic of al-Qadr wal-Qadha, and Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in his explanation of that book, discussed al-Qadr in brief. First he says that of the characteristics of Allah the Most High is that He is Al-Fa'al, Al-Fa'al lima yurid. He is the one who does whatever He wills. As Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Hud, verse 107, Inna Rabbaka Fa'alun lima yurid. That verily your Lord is the one who does whatever He wills. The Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, so nothing, if Allah is the one who does whatever He wills, then nothing is outside of His will and His authority. Nothing happens except بِتَكْدِيرِهِ, except with His taqdeer, His fixing or predetermining or measuring that thing. وَتَدْبِيرِهِ, tadbir means that He is the one who supervises or arranges for whatever happens in the universe. In His hands is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. He guides whomever He wills by His rahmah, His mercy, and He leads astray whomever He wills by His hikmah, His wisdom, even if we don't understand it. And He is not questioned about whatever He does due to the fact that His wisdom and His authority is complete and perfect. His wisdom and His authority is complete and perfect. So who can question Him? No one can question him when he has total authority. And no one can question him even from the other perspective. Forget about does he have authority, but is what he did correct or right or wrong? When he has perfect wisdom, who can question what he has done? It has to be for wisdom beyond our ability to reject or to refuse or to oppose. While the human beings who would want to question him, they are the ones who are questioned about what they do. They don't have authority, nor do they have the wisdom as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. He says that they are the marbub or the mahkum, the one who is under the authority of the Rabb and under the authority of the hakim, the ruler, or the one who has authority. So therefore, we accept this fact that Allah is the one who does whatever He wills, and it is based on His authority and His wisdom. Here the Shaykh says that al-iman, or faith, true, complete conviction in al-qadr is wajib. To believe in al-qadr is wajib. You have no choice in the matter. And it is one of the six pillars of iman. One of the arkan, al-iman, al-sitta, al-qadr. Just like we have to believe in Allah and the angels and the books and the prophets, also we have to believe in this. This is a part of the main article of faith, of creed, of aqidah. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-iman an tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawm al-akhir wal qadari khayrihi wa sharrihi. That iman is in fact to believe, that you believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His prophets and the last day, and al-qadr, the divine decree or pre-measurement, khayrihi wa sharrihi, that which is from that decree, what Allah determined, if it is khayr or shar, if it is good or bad or evil, whatever, as we see it in our mind. And this is a problem for many of the people. How can Allah decree evil? Why would Allah decree evil? But the Prophet of Allah, the most truthful and the most knowledgeable of humanity and the best of the prophets and messengers, he said, "Wal khadr." Khayrihi wa sharrihi. Khayrihi wa sharrihi. We must take both of them. And some of the scholars said, حُلْوِهِ وَحَلَاوَتِهِ وَمَرَارَتِهِ. Here, the Shaykh says, the khayr and the shar, the good and the evil, it is in respect or in relation to al-aqibah, the end of the affair. We say something is khair or shar, good or evil, when we see the end of it, the end result, not the beginning, as it first happened, but what is the end result? Then we can say something is khair or shar in reality, when we see the end result. Because perhaps something happened and it looks bad, but actually it led to something good in the end. So you have to see the end result to say, is this khair or is it shar? That's very important. As for the halawa and the marara, yani the sweetness or the bitterness of the affairs of life, of the qadr, the sweetness and the bitterness of it, this is in relation to or in respect of the time when that thing occurs or happens. At the time when it happens, we say that it is sweet or bitter. It is something pleasing to us or displeasing at the time when it happens. But as for whether or not it's khair or shar, we do not know until the end of it, until we see the end. Then he says, the khair, the good of al-qadr, is that which is nafi'an, which is that which is beneficial. This is the khair. No matter whether it's يعني, halwa, if it's sweet to us or bitter. But if in the end of it, it is beneficial, that's khayr. Like the medicine that you take, at the time you take it, it's bitter. It's terrible. But in the end, it helps you. It heals you. So really we say that that medicine, though it tastes bad at the time when you're taking it, but in the end result, it's beneficial. So that's khayr. the khair of the qadr, the good of it, is that which is beneficial, and the shar of the qadr is that which is daran aw mu'diyan, that which is harmful or hurtful. That which is harmful or hurtful. Yani that which is actually caused harm in the end to the person, this is the shar. Then he says, al-khayr wa shar. It is in relation to the maqdoor. It is in relation to the maqdoor, the thing that has been determined. The thing that Allah determined. That matter, that happening, that incident, it is what can be described as khayr or shar. As opposed to Allah's action of determining it. We don't say about Allah's action, when He determined something, that His action is khayr or shar. Allah's action is only khayr. But the thing that He determined, that thing itself, we might say that it is khayr or shar when we see the end result of it. Allah is determining it, it is not khayr or shar. Allah is determining of something, fixing, measuring of anything, it is only khayr. It is only khayr. Because Allah doesn't do anything except khayr. I hope this is somewhat clear. It is a very important distinction here. Of those things that have been determined, which we say are khayr, are the ta'at, the actions of obedience, siha, good health, ghina, wealth, or being without need. And of those things that have been determined, the things themselves that have been determined, that we consider as shar, is al-ma'asi, sinning or disobedience, al-mar, sickness, al-faqr, poverty, or being in need. This is in reference to the thing that has been determined. We may say that that thing, we may look at it as being as khair or shar, in reference to the occurrence of that action when it takes place. If it is an act of obedience or disobedience. Someone being in good health or sick, being without need, wealthy or without need, and the one who is in need or in poverty. But as for the action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's action of determining that thing, when He qaddara or determined or measured something to happen in a certain way, we only say about this that it is khayr. We do not say that in Allah's action, it cannot be described, Allah's action, as being shar. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dua, which he taught to Hassan, the son of Ali, radiallahu anhuma. That dua, which he taught to him, to be recited in Al-Qunut, when we are making Qunut, either in the witr prayer or in any other prayer, depending on the circumstances. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him in that dua, وَقِنَا شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتِ وَقِنَا شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتِ. Protect us from the evil of that which you have qadayt, you have determined, or fixed, or pre-decreed, or executed. Protect us from the evil of that thing which you have decreed. So here, the evil, the shar, sharra ma qadayt, the shar here, or evil, it is connected to what Allah has determined, not to Allah's actioning, His action of determining. Not Allah's action, but the thing itself that has been determined. The evil is attributed to that thing. So this makes us to know that we should not attribute evil to Allah or to any action of Allah. But if there is any evil in the creation that Allah decreed or determined to happen, then the evil is attributable only to that thing when it happens, or that thing that has been determined, not to Allah, but to the action of Allah. The Shaykh also in another place mentioned concerning this topic of the dua of kunut waqina sharra ma qadayt, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes determines or pre-decrees khayr, something to happen that is khayr, or sometimes he decrees something to happen which is sharr. As for Allah's predetermining al-khayr, it is absolutely considered to be khayr. There is no sharr in it. When Allah predetermines khayr, it means that it is purely khayr. In reference to Allah's action of determining it, His action of determining it is khayr. And the thing that happens is also khayr. This is like Allah determining for the people, or measuring for the people, or fixing for the people plenty of wealth and sustenance, or safety, or peace, or security, or guidance, or help, or success, or victory. Allah is determining that thing, His action of determining is khayr. And the thing itself that happens is also khayr. So this khayr is from both sides, from both directions, or from both aspects. As for when Allah predetermines or decrees sharr, then Allah's action of determining it is considered to be khayr. But the thing itself that has happened, the disaster or calamity or whatever, that thing is sharr or evil. And this is like, for example, when there is a drought, when the rain is stopped, Allah decrees this. Allah is the one who controls the heavens and the earth. He is the one who sends down rain and causes the plants to grow. If no rain comes down, this is by Allah's decree. Allah is the only one who can decree such. So when there is a drought and there is no food in the land, then this is by Allah's decree. This thing may be considered as sharr, but Allah is determining it, Allah is fixing that thing to happen, is considered to be khayr. And this is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادِ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِي النَّاسِ لِيَذُوقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَلِمُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. That al-fasad, corruption, has spread in the land and in the sea. Corruption has spread in the land and the sea. Due to what the hands of the people have earned. Yani due to their own actions. Corruption has spread due to the actions of the human beings. So corruption spread throughout the earth, throughout the land and the sea, due to the actions of the human beings, so that Allah might cause them to taste the fruit of their actions. Perhaps they will return. Perhaps they will come back to Him. And in that corruption, we say it's sharr, it's evil, spreading through the earth, through the land and the sea. But Allah decreed that to happen, to bring about something good. Perhaps from that corruption being widespread in the earth, some people may return back to Allah. And that actually happened. Some people, when they looked at the condition of the world, or their society, or their country, they said, this thing is gone, it's finished. There's no hope for us except to turn back to the guidance, turn back to Allah. So this thing that Allah has decreed has a noble and praiseworthy objective. It is to bring the people back, after being in disobedience to Allah, to obedience to Allah. The objective is to cause the people to return to Allah's obedience. So the thing that Allah fixed, the spreading of corruption and evil in the earth, it is considered to be, that thing itself, when we see it spreading, it's considered to be evil. But it turned out to be good in its end. And that's why even the thing itself, when it's something evil, when it happens, but Allah determining it, we don't say His action of determining it is evil, it is good, because Allah has an objective. even if we understand it or not. But because of his wisdom, he allowed that thing to happen. Perhaps we may sometimes see what is the end result and the reason why Allah fixed it. Sometimes we may not. But in any case, we believe without doubt that it is due to Allah's wisdom. And it has a noble and praiseworthy objective. So we say, وَقِنَا شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتَ يعني, O Allah, protect us from that thing which will occur or did occur that appears to be evil. Not from the evil of Allah's determining it, but from the thing itself. Because when Allah fixed something like this or determines or caused something like this to happen, it is for some praiseworthy and good and beneficial objective. There is really some further point here. Let me just quickly. This topic of Al-Qadr wa-Qadr is really very important and we need to understand it. We mentioned in brief the main aspects of Al-Qadr wa-Qadr, I think in the last lecture. Here the Shaykh discussed this point and he mentioned some of the evidences that perhaps will make it more clear for us. The main aspects of Al-Qadr wal-Qadr are how many? What are the main points or principles or aspects of Al-Qadr wal-Qadr? Last week we mentioned them. We said Al-Ilm, knowledge, Al-Kitaba, writing or recording, Al-Mashiyah or Al-Irada, the will of Allah, and Al-Khalq, the creation, that everything that exists and their actions are created by Allah, whether good or evil. Here the Shaykh mentions these four points with the evidence for each of them, or some evidence, although the evidences are many. He says the first, that Iman or faith in Al-Qadr will not be complete. No one's faith in Al-Qadr is complete except that there are four things that they have to include in their faith and believe in all of them. Otherwise their faith or Iman and Qadr is incomplete. The first of them is the faith or belief that Allah knows everything in general and in detail, previously having that knowledge from the very beginning. He had the knowledge of everything. And this is based on the saying of Allah, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَصِيرٌ. Do you not know that Allah knows whatever is in the heaven and the earth? Verily, that is written or recorded in a book. Everything is recorded in a book. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَصِيرٌ. And that is something easy for Allah. To know everything is easy for Allah. This is in Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse 70. The second aspect of Al-Qadr, we must believe in this first one, that Allah has knowledge of everything. The second, Al-Kitaba, that Allah has had everything written in Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. The measure or the fixed lifespan and activities and everything in the life of everything that exists, that all of this is written down, it is recorded. As Allah says in the Quran, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبَلِ أَن نَبَرَأَهَا. That no musibah, no catastrophe or calamity befalls in the earth or in yourself, except that it is in a book written and recorded before we bring it into existence. It is already recorded. Everything. There's nothing except that it is already recorded. This is Surah Al-Hadid, I think chapter 57, Surah Al-Hadid, verse 22. And as it is reported in the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Imam Muslim, كتب الله مقادر الخلائق قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض بخمسين ألف سنة. That Allah had written The maqadir of the khalaiq, يعني the measurement or predeterminations of everything in the creation, had already been written before he created the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years, reported by Imam Muslim. So this writing of everything, in general and in detail, also we must believe in it. The third of them is al-irada, or al-mashi'ah, means the will of Allah. That nothing will be in the heavens or on the earth, except it is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those things that happen by the will of Allah revolve or rotate between His rahmah and His hikmah. Downstairs. By Allah's rahmah, or between His rahmah and His hikmah. And it is either Allah's mercy that He gave us good or guided us, or it is His hikmah that someone was led astray or any harmful thing or distasteful thing happened to them in their life. That Allah guides whomever He wills by His mercy, and He leads astray whomever He wills by His wisdom, and He is not asked about whatever He does. Because whatever happens, when it happens, we know for sure it is by Allah's decree, and it is in accordance with His previous knowledge, and that which has been written in Allah al-Mahfuz. Here, concerning this, he mentions the ayah of Quran in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 125, showing that nothing happens except by the will of Allah. That everything is by Allah's will, whether it appears to us to be good or bad. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهِ Whoever Allah wants or will, whoever Allah will to guide him, then he expands or opens his breast or his chest to Islam. Yeah, and he makes him receptive to Islam. Whoever Allah wants, Man yurid Allah, of Allah, who He is the one who yuridu hadha. He is the one who wants it, then he opens his chest to Islam. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّكًا حَرَجًا Whoever Allah wants or will to lead him astray, and يُضِلَّهُ, then he makes his chest straightened, tight, so that he is not receptive to Islam. This is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if somebody was saying this to us, perhaps we would find it difficult to accept. But this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is saying that whoever He wills, He opens their heart to Islam or their breast to Islam. And whoever He wills to lead astray, then He makes their chest straightened so that they don't accept it. This requires some explanation, no doubt. Perhaps there are some questions. Why does Allah will to lead somebody astray? Is it fair that He will to lead this one astray and He will to lead that one, yani, rightly? What, is that fair? But the important thing here in this ayah, that the guidance and leading astray, when it happens, this ayah affirms that it only happens bi iradatillah, by the irada or the will of Allah. It only happens by Allah's irada. The fourth point of al-qadr is al-khalq, that everything in the heavens and the earth is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no creator other than Him. There's no Rabb, Lord or nourisher other than Him. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, verse 2, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا That Allah has created كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, everything. Everything that exists, Allah created. There is no other creator. And then He measured it, a proper measurement. And also Allah says in the Quran, on the tongue of Ibrahim alayhi salam, in Surah As-Safat, chapter 37, verse 96, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ That Allah has created you all, and that which you do. Ibrahim alayhi salam said that to his people, who were making idols. They were carving idols, and Allah says in the Quran that Ibrahim said to them, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ Allah is the one who created you, وَمَا تَعَمَلُونَ And also your actions. your deed, that which you are doing. In that case, it was referring to the carving of the idol. But it is general. This statement in the Quran is general, that Allah, not only is Allah the creator of them and that which they were carving, but Allah is the creator of all things in the creation and everything that they do. Our actions, whether good or bad, Allah is the creator of our actions as well as ourselves. Then he talks about that qadr should not be used as a proof or an argument by those who do evil. But let's not go into that because we want to, before the time runs out completely, take some points from Al-Aqidah Tahawiyah. We will return to that, inshallah, when we come to a point related directly to it. Here, Al-Imam Al-Tahawi says in point number 18, خَلَقَ الْخَلْقُ بِعِلْمِهِ وَقَدَّرَ لَهُمْ أَقْدَارًا. That Allah created the creation بِعِلْمِهِ, you can say with His knowledge, or He had knowledge. He created the creation having knowledge of that creation, of everything that He created. Before He created, He had knowledge of it, and all that's going to happen to it or what it will do. That Allah created the creation being totally aware and having complete knowledge of that creation and everything concerning it. وَقَدَّرَ لَهُمْ أَقْدَارًا. And He has also appointed their, or estimated, or determined, preordained for each of the creatures that He created, whatever it will need and what will happen to it in this world. All of what will happen to it, He has already قَدَّرَ. He has predetermined these things. Naam. Here, the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman al-Khunayyis, who gave us the brief explanation of Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, he says here very briefly that verily Allah created the creation عَالِمًا بِهِمْ, having full knowledge of that creation before He created it. As Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Mulk, chapter 67, verse 14, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقُ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. أَلَا يَعْلَمْ مَنْ خَلَقْ. The one who created, does he not know what he created? وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. And he is the one who has knowledge of everything. Whether it is, يعني, even those things which are unseen or difficult to see or to detect, Allah has knowledge over all of them, and He is totally aware of everything. So His knowledge, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, encompasses everything. As Allah said in another place in the Quran, in Surah Al-Taha, chapter 20, verse 110, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. That Allah knows whatever is before them and whatever is behind them, and no one encompasses Him, or nothing encompasses Him in their knowledge, or by knowledge. Yani Allah knows everything that is before them or behind them, yani, meaning everything, all knowledge of everything. He knows whatever happened in the past. He knows what is going to happen in the future. And He knows what didn't happen. If it had happened, how it would have been. And even that which didn't happen and is not going to happen, had it happened, how it would have been. Allah has knowledge of everything. And Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Saba, chapter 34, verse 4, لا يعذب عنه مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض ولا أصغر من ذلك ولا أكبر إلا في كتاب مبين. That nothing can escape from Him or from His knowledge. Even مثقال ذرة, يعني a small, the smallest ant in existence, or as most of the translators say, the atom. When they came to know that the atom is the smallest thing in existence, they said atom. But really, it means, that word actually, it means a small, small, small type of ant. It's verse 3, Jazakallah khair. That nothing escapes from Him. Even the smallest thing, like the smallest ant in the heavens or the earth, or even something, and Allah said, in case you came up with something smaller than that, وَلَا أَصْغَرُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْبَرُ. even anything smaller than that or anything bigger than that, except that it is all fi kitab mubin, in a clear book. It is already recorded. Allah has knowledge of everything, and that is recorded. Nothing escapes from His knowledge, and His knowledge encompasses everything. بالكليات والجزيات. يعني the totality of everything as well as the parts. Separate individual parts of everything is also known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says that Allah وَقَدَّرَ لَهُمْ أَقْدَارًا, يعني that Allah is the one who made the pre-ordainment or pre-measurement, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed these things, as he says in the Quran, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ, that verily everything, we have created it بِقَدَرٍ, يعني with qadr, with a measurement, predetermined, preordained measurement or fixed, يعني amount or time or whatever. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Qamar, chapter 54, verse 49. And Allah also said in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, verse 2, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا, that Allah created everything and then He fixed or determined its measure of its existence and everything related to it with complete and perfect measurement or determining. So we must acknowledge that al-khayr and al-shar, both good and evil, is predetermined. It is within the qadr of Allah. And everything that is created, everything that exists also comes under the qadr of Allah. And this is a refutation of those who claimed that al-shar, evil, is not of the creation of Allah. They said that evil is not from the creation of Allah. But Allah Himself said that He created everything. He didn't make any exceptions. There is no proof for exception. The next point, he says, وَضَرَبَ لَهُمْ أَجَالًا, that Allah has appointed or fixed or allotted or planned the end of everything, or its, يعني term of existence, ajalan. Ajal means ajal. It means the period of time which a thing, anything in the creation has to exist in this world. So Allah is the one who has fixed or determined the ajal or the periods of existence for everything in the creation. وَلَمْ يَخْفَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَهُمْ, and nothing has been hidden from Allah before He created the creation. وَعَلِمَ مَا هُمْ عَامِلُونَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَهُمْ, and Allah also is well aware and fully knowledgeable of everything that they will do. مَا هُمْ عَامِلُونَ, whatever they are doing and will do, Allah is aware of it before He created them. قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَهُمْ. Here the Shaykh, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written the time period or determined the time period of everything in the creation, and they cannot go out of those bounds. They cannot go outside of the bounds that Allah has fixed. No way. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ, as Allah said in the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 34, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ, if their fixed or determined time comes, لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون, then that thing will not be delayed even one moment. 1 hour or one moment, it will not be delayed, nor will it be advanced. When it's time, أجلوا, when it comes, there's no delaying or advancing. Also, he says here, in reference to the point 21, that nothing is hidden from Allah's knowledge before He created creation. He knew everything that they would do. This is related to the ilm or the knowledge of Allah. He said that verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was knowing from the beginning everything before He created His creation. He knew the people, أهل السعادة وأهل الشقاوة, those who would be the people of happiness as well as the people of I don't know, shaqawa. The people who will have the bad end. Yani, the people of sa'ada means the people who will go to paradise, and the people of shaqawa means the people who are destined for the punishment of the hellfire. Allah knows the saliheen, what saliheen, those who will be righteous and those who will be wicked. All of this, Allah knew it before He created them. Allah knew that such and such day, something would happen to everything in the creation of human or other life. Allah knew that on a particular day that this will happen, and it will happen in a particular manner. Nothing is hidden from Him of His creation, even of the finest things that we may think would be hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, Allah's knowledge is perfect and completely encompassing everything. Here he says, in brief, the summary of these points is that Allah has created everything in His creation, having full knowledge of those things and everything related to them before He created them. Then He measured or fixed their existence, everything related to existence, their existence, and their beginning and their end, and what would be their determined place in paradise or the hellfire. All of this is fixed and determined. And nothing is hidden from Allah of His creation, of the creatures themselves, as well as the actions of those creatures. All of this is known to Allah before He created everything. This is maybe the point that we can stop at here, because the next paragraph actually goes into another topic that's pretty lengthy. So rather than to go on to that, inshallah, we may take a few moments to take any comments or corrections or questions. Naam. But yes, all of what is predetermined, all of what is written, all that will happen, whether it is of those things that are written at the time when the person is in the womb of their mother, that writing is also known to Allah from the beginning. But it only became written in the knowledge of the angels at the time when they wrote it. But to Allah it's already known. That which is written yearly, the yearly qadr, or writing of qadr, also it became known to the angels in that time, but it's already known to Allah. All of the writing that takes place in the qadr, whether we are talking about that which is written in lawh mahfuz, that which is written in more detail when the person was in their mother's womb before they were born, what would happen, all about their life, their lifespan, and whether happy or sad or whatever, their sustenance, all of these things, that also is known to Allah, as well as the detail, more details that are written yearly in the life of every human being. Also, that is also known. And every stage, as the details became known to the creatures, angels or human or otherwise, that's only in reference to the creatures, the creation. But as for Allah, all of it is known, in general as well as in detail, from the very beginning. All of it. Now, nothing is new to Allah. If we said that Allah came to know something, then it would mean that before that Allah's knowledge was deficient, defective, incomplete, imperfect. And that is to attribute to Allah imperfection is kufr, is disbelief. To attribute any sign or aspect of imperfection to Allah is kufr. Allah has knowledge of everything, and Allah has power over everything, and so on. Naam, ya. Yeah, this is the topic that we don't have time to discuss today. I think, how much time is left before the adhan? 10 minutes? Okay, let us deal with this issue, at least in brief. This is a very important question. If someone does something that Allah decreed and they were put in jail or otherwise punished, can we blame them? Of course we can blame them. If they were put in jail because they commit a crime, because they did something evil, then their actions are their own actions. The action of any creature is their own actions. Even though we say that Allah is the creator of the human being or any creature and their actions, but what do we mean by that? Anyway, we will discuss this in detail. Let me just say here, as this point came in our introductory remarks, it came, let us continue with those introductory remarks so that we will see some clarification in this question that you have asked now. The Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen says that, before his explanation, Al-Imam ibn Qudama in his book Lumat al-I'tiqad, he says that we do not make Allah's predetermining of something, we do not make it as a proof or an argument for those who have abandoning his commandments. They left those things which he ordered them to do, nor those who fell into the commission of some acts which Allah prohibited. We cannot say that qadr, the fact that Allah pre-decreed something, that this is an argument for them or a support for them. No way, it cannot be. But it is obligatory on us to believe that and know that Allah has established the proof over everyone and everything when He revealed the books and when He sent the prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 165, لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُولِ, so that there would be no proof for the people, no argument for them after the sending or the missioning of the prophets and messengers. The prophets and messengers came to do what? To tell you what Allah ordered you to do and what He prohibited you from. After the messengers have been sent, you have no argument. There's no argument. Then why did Allah send the prophets and messengers? If it is as though that Allah decreed something, therefore you have no free will or choice in the matter, and so you will say, well, it's what as Allah has decreed. That would be your argument. Then what is the need for Allah to send prophets and messengers to tell you what to do and what not to do? Then this would be foolishness. This is like attributing foolishness to Allah, that He sends prophets and messengers to every nation to tell the people what to do and what not to do. And then on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the people disobey His commands and engage in all He prohibited, they would just say, it was your qadr, Allah. So please excuse me. No, Allah says in the Quran, لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُولِ, so that the people would not have any argument. They would not have any proof upon any argument with Allah after the sending of the messengers. The Shaykh says that there is no proof for the sinful person when he commits a sin in qadr. Because the actions of the human being, all of them, whether they're acts of obedience or disobedience, they are created by Allah, as we have already mentioned, but they are not a proof or an argument for the sinful person when he commits a sin, and this is based on many evidences. The first of those evidences is that Allah has described the actions of the person as being his own actions. Yani, He described the actions of the human being as being the human being's actions. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-Ghafir, chapter 17, الْيَوْمَ تُجَزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ, that in this day, yani the day of judgment, everyone will be rewarded, yani with good or bad, according to his deeds, whether they were good or bad, everyone, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ, will be rewarded, بِمَا كَسَبَتْ, according to what that person has done. Okay? You will be rewarded according to what you have done. It's chapter Ghafir. I don't know the number of Ghafir. Maybe it's 40. I'm not sure. I don't remember the number. But you can look for Surah Ghafir, chapter 17. Okay, it's 40. Jazakallah khair. Verse 17. If the person had no choice in his action, and it was all decreed and fixed for him, then Allah wouldn't say that he would be rewarded for his own actions, for what he has earned, what the person has earned. Then Allah, no need to say what you have earned if you have no choice in the matter, if it is by Allah's fixing without any choice of the human being. The second argument is that Allah has ordered the people and He has prohibited them. And there's no need for Allah to order or to prohibit, except that the person has the ability to obey His commands or to refrain from His prohibition. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 286, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا وُسَعَ أو إِلَّا وُسَعَهَا لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَهَا, that Allah doesn't make anyone responsible or give anyone any task except that which he has the ability to do. Yani Allah didn't order us to do something except we have the ability to obey him. Nor did he prohibit us from anything except that we have the ability to refrain from that prohibition. And Allah says in Surah Taghabun, Taghabun, oh Allah, Madri. I don't know what is the name of Taghabun. It's verse 16, Surah Taghabun. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعَتُمْ. So fear Allah in His commands and prohibitions, مَا اسْتَطَعَتُمْ. According to your ability. Allah, He is saying that you are responsible to obey Him in what He commanded and to refrain from what He has prohibited, مَا اسْتَطَعَتُمْ. According to your ability. So you are responsible. It's clear that you are responsible then. If the person was forced to do whatever he does against his will, then he doesn't have the ability to obey Allah's command or to refrain from his prohibition. If in fact a person is forced, and if we are saying that qadr means the person is forced to do it, therefore when he commits a crime, he shouldn't be blamed. If that was so, then that means he has no ability to obey or to refrain, and therefore what is the meaning of these ayats of Quran? The next argument he says is that everyone knows the difference between al-amal al-ikhtiyari wal-amal al-ijbari. Everybody knows the difference between that action which a person does by force and that action which a person does by choice. There are some things that we do by force, we have no will in them, no choice in the matter. We don't decide to breathe or not breathe, but it happens automatically. We don't decide to make our heart beat or not, but it is happening already. When we are in our sleep, for example, if we turn over, it's not by our choice that we turn over in our sleep. There are some things that are happening without our will. And there are the things that we decide to do. When you see some food, you decide. You look at it, I want to eat or not. I don't like this or I like it. You decide. There's a difference between the actions which you do, what you think about and decide to do, and those actions which you have no control over, that are outside of your realm. So, this also makes us to know that people are responsible for what they do. There are actions that we do by choice, and therefore we're responsible for them. And the other things that we have no power over, we are not responsible for them. The fourth thing he says is that the sinner, before he decides to commit a sin, he does not know that that sin is decreed for him. That it is qadr. That it is the qadr of Allah, that he's going to commit that sin. He doesn't know before it happens what is Allah's qadr. Nobody knows before something happens what is the qadr of Allah except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person who is going to commit a sin, who is thinking about it, he doesn't know before he does it, is this Allah's qadr or not? It will not become known until it happens. Then Allah's qadr is known. So it is possible that he may do that thing or he may refrain from it. If he decides to commit that sin, which is wrong, then he will make as an argument qadr. But that qadr that he is arguing, saying it was the qadr of Allah, it was unknown to him before he did it. So he decided to do it on his own, not because it was qadr. He didn't know what was the qadr. Isn't it better then that the person who doesn't know should refrain from sinning or refrain from doing bad deeds and then say that this is the qadr of Allah, rather than to commit a sin and then argue saying this is the qadr of Allah? You see, we don't know what Allah has decreed for us, so it is better, if you want to claim that everything is by qadr, then don't commit a sin and say it's qadr, go and do a good deed and say it's qadr. This is more beneficial to you if you have any sins. Allah also has informed the Prophet that he sinned. Or he informed us that he sent the Prophet in order to cut off any argument from the people, as we mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, verse 165, that Allah sent the Prophet so that there would be no argument or proof after the sending of the prophets and messengers. And if the qadr was really going to be a proof, then there would be no need for Allah to send the prophets and messengers. So these are some of the arguments that the Shaykh mentions concerning those who want to argue and debate. There's a long discussion about this in some other books. There's one book called Al-Qadr, according to the Minhaj, or the way of the righteous predecessors. It's written by Dr. Salih As-Sali. If anyone can get a hold of that book, you will find this discussion that we are now talking about in much more detail. For whoever wants more detail, otherwise, inshallah, let us suffice with this. As the points of Al-Qadr wal-Qadr come further in the book, then we will discuss them at that time. Now, Abdul Yahya. If we hear the adhan, if somebody hears the adhan, please let me know. Now. Now. Okay, if Allah knows everything, and Allah does know everything, we acknowledge this and accept it and believe in it completely without any doubt, then what about in the Quran, and so many places in the Quran where Allah mentions that He would test us with hunger and fear and loss of wealth and loss of lives and so on. What is the meaning of this? What is the test if He already knows? That's the question? Now, we can say that the test is not to determine, for Allah's sake, to determine who can pass and who cannot. Allah already knows. But the test is for the sake of the human being. The test in this world is not for Allah to know. Yani this testing is not like the poor, imperfect teacher who doesn't know his students very well. He doesn't know really who can pass and who cannot. Even the teacher is a human being. If they are a good teacher and they are teaching someone for some time, they usually can say which of their students are going to do well and which are not going to do well. Sometimes they can even tell you, this student is going to be first, highest grade. This one will be second and third. They can almost determine. If they really know their students well, they can tell you which one is not going to pass, which one is going to do miserably. They can tell. With their imperfect and incomplete knowledge, they can tell. So what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows everything, and His knowledge is complete and perfect? Surely Allah knows. But it is not as it is in this world, that the teacher who even has a good idea, who can pass and who cannot, but the teacher has to give the examination to be sure who deserves what grade. As for Allah, He is already sure. He is already sure. But this testing is really exclusively and totally for the human being, so that on the Day of Judgment, when Allah sends the people of Paradise to Paradise by His Rahmah and His Fadl, then sends the people of Hellfire to the Hellfire out of His Adl, His Justice, no one will have a complaint. No one will be able to say, for example, had Allah created all human beings and put some in Paradise and some in Hellfire, they will say, oh Allah, Ya Rabb, why didn't You give me a chance? I would have done well, like I would have done this, I would have done that, and such and so. Wouldn't they? Would anybody accept to be in the Hellfire and they didn't have a chance to prove themselves in this world? No one will accept such. But when Allah put us in this world and gave us the knowledge of right and wrong, and gave us the ability to choose between right and wrong based on knowledge and guidance and sending of prophets and messengers and revelations and righteous people and scholars and the ability to execute our will, then when we chose whatever we chose, then it made manifest what Allah had already determined, who should be in Paradise and who should be in the Hellfire, based on His perfect knowledge, His eternal knowledge. Then on the Day of Judgment, all people's records will be presented. So no one will be able to say, but I don't deserve to be in Hellfire. No, it's clear. Your record, everything great or small, nothing will be missing. So it will be clear that you deserve, without a doubt, without question. And it's not like you were on the halfway mark. It was close, give me a chance. Allah is just. If you did anything good, then Allah might, by even the smallest good deed, put you in Paradise, if you are a believer. And even those who really believe in Allah, who do the least of deeds, by Allah's mercy, they would come out of the hellfire. If they are punished justly, they would come out of the hellfire and into the paradise. But only the disbelievers, who after knowing who is their Lord and their Creator, and Allah took the seed of Adam from his spine before he brought the creation, before he brought us into this world and made everyone to testify, أَلَسْتُ رَبِّكُمْ, am I not your Lord? So that every human being, when they came into this world, already have the shahada of acknowledgement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is their Lord. Then when they came into this world and Allah sent prophets and messengers and called them to obey Him and they refused, then they deserve to be punished. So this test is meant for Allah to know. But it is for the human being to know when he goes to the hellfire that he deserves it. When he is punished, that he deserves it. This is the purpose of the test only. Any last comment? Because our 5 minutes up. Is it the saying of if? Obvious question. Yani, I think obvious the issue of questioning is a separate issue altogether. It's permissible, and in some cases obligatory to ask questions. But maybe by obvious questions, you mean that which is already known. Why should anyone ask about it? Huh? Philosophical questions. Or those things which, yani, there are questions that shouldn't be asked. This is blameworthy. But we should determine if it is a beneficial question and thing that we need, then we should ask. As for if, this is an issue that requires some discussion in detail. But perhaps there is some discussion in this about this in the sharh of Sahih Muslim of Imam al-Nawawi, where he discussed in some detail concerning this, the use of the word if. And the essence or summary of that discussion is that we should not say if about those things. Yani, if this would have happened, I would have, or if so and so, then I would have, about those things that already passed us by, as though we are displeased and unsatisfied with what Allah has decreed. But we might say if, in reference to things of the future, that if this happens, then we can do this. It's permissible. Yani, if I make enough money this year, I'm going to make Hajj. No harm in saying such. About those things which are good that you hope to do, you may say if. About those things that happened already, if I wasn't in this place, I wouldn't have committed this crime. No, you did it by your own free will. And it happened already. It's Allah's decree. We must accept Allah's decree and be satisfied with it. Even perhaps about something that happened in the past, as an instruction or an encouragement for people's actions in the future, you may also say if. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said when he was on the mountain of Al-Marwa after the performance of Umrah, he told the people who didn't have an animal with them, who didn't have a sacrificial animal with them, that they should get out of Ihram. If they were making Qiran or Ifrad, and they should make this Tawaf and Sa'i as Umrah, they should get out of Ihram. And he said to them, if I knew what I know now, then I wouldn't in the future do what I did this time. That is, I would not have made intention for Qiran, joining Umrah and Hajj in one Ihram. But since he had the animal with him, he cannot get out of Ihram, so he must stay in Qiran. This if means here an advice or guidance to the people in the future. He means to say that in the future, don't do what I did, bringing your animal with you and making Qiran, but you should know what we know now, that it is better to make tamattu. And you should make intention to make tamattu, to make Umrah and one Ihram, and then on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, get back into Ihram again for Hajj. So this, the use of if in this kind of case is permissible. Anyway, this is a summary of what the scholars have said about it. I hope it answers your question. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.